Welcome to the I Don't Do That podcast, where we get into all the things that we're not into.
Na 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 na, yeah, no, I don't do that, no, I don't do that. You know it's alright, you can ask, but I don't do that.
I think there's things that there's ways you approach playing, and there's ways the listener approaches listening that you can't achieve if you give them a sniff of cover music.
Episode 22 is I Don't Play Cover Songs. We're talking with Ben Scruggs today, who plays original music. Ben is a white male in his late 30s. He lives in southern Minnesota, USA.
And that's the reason why I picked up the guitar, is I wanted to start writing songs. It's always been the focus for me, is how do I translate my thoughts and feelings into music?
Yeah, as opposed to someone who picks up the guitar because they want to shred, like Eddie Van Halen or somebody, or like, you wanted to write.
Yeah, a lot of folks like want to learn some Taylor Swift or whatever.
That's another thing too, yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to write songs, and guitar was a very attractive option.
Yeah. It's a good songwriting tool. I've used it myself for decades. So, yeah. When did you get your first song, would you say? It seems like maybe it was a process or...
Yeah, I mean, there's a learning curve to writing music.
Yeah.
When I first started writing songs, I was in my teens, and I was into Weezer and Nirvana and the Beatles, and I wanted to write stuff like that. I wanted to write songs for a band, you know, and make a record.
Yeah.
So I focused on that when I began.
And you've done that.
I've done that. Yeah, I wrote a couple records, and I moved to the cities, and I spent a lot of time honing those records and really trying to get my songs perfectly put together.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say by the time I released my second record, and we were just talking about in 2017, Poor Lemuel, Above the Fray, I would say I had probably 30 songs put together.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I played in the cities for about 10 years, and it's a different scene up there. You go play.
Yeah, Minneapolis-St. Paul. Mm-hmm.
You go play the clubs and you play an hour with your band.
Yeah.
Or 45 minutes, you know.
Yeah. And you're on a bill with a bunch of other bands. Yeah.
You practice for weeks for your show, and you want to be perfect. You want to play everything perfectly. And you do your show hoping that someone will hear your songs and give you the next gig. And then I came down here, started playing.
Yeah.
And it's different.
You're
playing 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
You're playing in a bar or a brewery or something where you know that no one's going to see you and put you in First Ave or something, you know?
There's nobody important there. There's nobody everyone is important, but there's nobody who is of a higher status than you there.
I wouldn't go that far, but
in your scene, right? Isn't that what you're saying? That there's nobody that's more important in the music scene than you on the stage at that time. Going to get you in the next gig or something.
I would say it's just more, you don't have those thoughts in your brain, you know, those aren't clouding your performance. Yeah. You're just showing up and playing music.
I'm also going to infer that there's more money because you're down here, you're getting paid. You say you're doing this for a living. So,
that was wacky to me too. I couldn't believe that I put all this work into writing these records and playing in the cities and practicing and getting a band together and trying to keep a band together. All this work just to go play for 45 minutes on a Tuesday night, you know, at like 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, for nothing. Maybe a drink ticket, you know. And then to come down here and play, and you know, maybe you're playing 2 or 3 hours, or whatever. But you're getting paid to do that, and people are listening to what you're doing. And
part of what I'm picking up too is the difference is hope. In the metro, there is hope that someone will hear you and do something for you to move your band forward, and here, there isn't. it's you doing it. Am I right or am I close?
That's the mindset.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the mindset. Okay, okay. I don't agree with that now.
Okay.
But that is the mindset, is uh-huh. that, you know, the Twin Cities offers, you know, potential platform to, you know, reach more people. Mm-hmm. Whereas down here, you know, you're going to get forgotten.
Okay.
But I don't believe that.
Tell me what you don't believe about it, because I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I mean, when you boil music down, it's just about, you know, reaching and connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to reach or connect with people that don't want to connect with you.
Yeah.
And I find people seem to want to connect in this area more than in the Twin Cities. I mean, mm-hmm. even now when I go play there, it's like there's this energy. It's weird energy that you feel. It's a battle to perform through. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, I set up and I play, and you know, people will take me as I am, and there's no
yeah. Yeah, so there isn't as much judgment, maybe, if they're taking you as you are?
There's always judgment.
Yeah, yeah. maybe it's not as critical or something?
Well, I think it's just more the scene, you know, the setting. I think in the Twin Cities, there's so many places with music, there's so many bands, there's so much that, you know, you just get lost, unless you're playing at First Ave or something, you know, like it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah.
And whereas here in Mankato, you go to the wine cafe, that's our First Ave, you know?
Sure. Sure. It very well could be.
There's only a couple places to play, really, you
there
know?
There really and are. Yeah. Yeah.
So
we were just talking about that, how there used to be more, but let's get back to, I'm going off on a tangent. I want to talk about your original music. Apart from your original music, maybe we can just put it on the back of what we're saying. Like, do you feel like that's received better in southern Minnesota than up in the metro?
I think my music in general, regardless of what I play, is received the same.
Is received the same? Okay. Okay. And are you still influenced by like Weezer and Nirvana and the Beatles?
I mean, I've already been influenced by them. Like, I don't know how you could take that away, okay. You know? But do I listen to a lot of Beatles, Nirvana, and Weezer? Yeah. Not as much as I used to.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm looking. There's so much music to explore that I can't help myself to.
There is. How many songs, original songs, do you have now?
Well, okay, so I started playing down here, and I started playing with Pete Klug, mm-hmm. and I started writing differently. Like, I was writing songs for a band, for mm-hmm. a record, and I remember the moment I played in Hanska. I forget what the bar is called. It's like Last Chance Saloon, maybe. Or I can't remember what it is.
Sure.
But
I wouldn't know.
You know.
It's out there.
Out there, right?
Yeah.
And I went there, and it was for a birthday party. And there was, it was for TC's birthday party, TC Chandler.
Yeah.
And there was music stuff set up there. And
was that with Pete also?
Yeah, or? Yeah. So
yeah, he does background music for this podcast, too.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. We're going to hear him playing behind us when we listen to this episode.
I'm not surprised.
Man. Yeah.
Man. Anyway, so we went out there to just go jam and play and hang out. And I was kind of being reintroduced to the scene because I played here when I was 20-ish, moved to the cities, and came back 10 years later.
Yeah.
So I got a guitar, and here I am thinking I'm this cities musician guy. And I just didn't have any songs that I could jam. You know,
uh-huh.
all my songs, just you needed to know what they were to play with me. And I thought this can't be right. Like, I got to have material that I can play with people. And so I started writing songs that I could jam with people or just simpler, easier to digest songs and more down home, more, I don't know, Southern Minnesota songs. Mm-hmm. And it just burst out of me like a flood. I must have wrote 50, 60 songs, I don't know, within a couple of years. Just couldn't stop writing songs, man.
Yeah.
And all that just has filled up my
set. That's like one a week.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And I was, you know, bouncing off of Pete. I was bouncing off of Laura Carls and Nate Boots and mm-hmm. you and mm-hmm. all these people that are writing great stuff around mm-hmm. here just gave me this inspiration to write that. And that material is just more John Priney, Bob mm-hmm. Dylan-y, folky, bluesy influence stuff. It just fits perfect in the scene that I currently play in, which is a lot of bars, breweries, you know, out of the city places.
Yeah, I know a lot of Nirvana songs, most of them, and I know a lot of Beatles, and they're not easy to understand necessarily. So, like, even though, like, Nirvana, I would say, all pretty much easy to play. And same with Beatles, if you know them. But they're not easy to understand. So you're not necessarily just going to jam with somebody who hasn't heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And there was a shift there after that birthday party or around then, right?
Yeah.
With your songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's interesting. Do you still play the old ones?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I'm always trying to figure out ways to sneak them in. I find when I'm playing sets, like, there's a certain vibe that I'm following. I'm trying to tap into, and so whatever song out of my repertoire that comes up, I try to perform.
Mm-hmm.
I still play Poor Lemuel, so we still play our old songs.
And, right, right.
And that's the best setting to hear that stuff, because you get to hear all the elements, mm-hmm. you know, as intended.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a solo performer, you know, not quite, you know, the same. It's not what I was going for with those songs.
Right, right. And so we're talking about not playing covers. We got your original song sort of catalog in our mind.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And a bit of a history about it.
Yeah.
So, do you ever play covers? Do you play them if you're with a band or like in any, is there any exceptions?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's exceptions.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, when I play my 2 hour, 3 hour, up to 4 hour sets of music, I don't play any cover songs. I don't play them. I only play my original stuff.
This is you solo.
Me solo. Yep.
Okay.
You know, I could play them, but I got into this to write songs and play my songs. I just don't play cover songs in my original sets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm playing with other people, if they want to play a cover song, it's not like I just, you know, rip out the chord out of my guitar and take a step back. You know, I'll play with them. I'd love to play with them. I sing harmonies and I'll play guitar.
Sure.
But I just don't like taking the extra steps to learn, you know, how to play it the way the guy wrote it, you know, or
yeah.
whatever. Like, I want to put my own spin on it. I don't want to learn the guitar solo. I want to play right. whatever I want to play,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to accompanying people. I sure. just don't want to learn them, you know? I used to know a bunch of covers. They've all faded in the background. I don't
uh-huh.
know them anymore. I don't want to relearn them. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. You don't do that. That's the title of the show.
I don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
but there are some covers that I will do,
uh-huh.
and that's the covers of my friends. So, like, I'll play a Nate Boot song. I'll play a Pete Klug song.
Yeah.
I'll play Laura Carls. I'll play a Chris Bertrand song.
Right.
You know, like, and I feel like it's...
These are people you play with.
Yeah, I play with these people. I know these people. I mean, part of it is, I mean, who knows the difference? Like if I play a Wonderwall, like, you'll all know I'm covering a song. But
right,
if I'm
right.
playing Chris Bertrand, you know, like, you as far as you know, I wrote it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll let you know that he wrote it, but I mean, this is our world, not just my world, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're going to cover some people that, that are in your band. You're going to play, you'll play a song of theirs and you will sort of join in on a cover, if they really want, sort of thing, when you're playing together. But when you're playing solo or when you're leading, you're not going to lead a cover song.
No.
Right.
Well, there's one last exception that
okay.
I'll tell you.
Okay.
So there is one cover song that I still have in my repertoire that I will play once in a while. And I still have it because I haven't forgotten it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
what is it?
So it's a song that's very easy and it's fun. And, you know, I like playing with people. So, you know, if you can have an easy song, two chord song, it's Hank Sr., Jambalaya.
Okay.
So
sure.
I still know that song. We'll use it as a sound check once in a while. You know, if I'm playing with someone, just, you know, sit down next to them and, you know, they want to play something easy or whatever. Here we go. Two chords. Just we'll go play it together, you
mm-hmm.
know? So, but if I ever forget that song, then it'll probably be forgotten and I'll stop playing it. So.
This is like, son of a gun, gonna have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. By you.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Good old tune, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It took me a while to place it, but I was like, I know what that song
yeah.
is. Okay. So, like, myself, like, I'm playing Happy Birthday a few times a month. I mean, do you ever like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But you know, like, you can't say no to that, you know.
You kind of can't.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
You got to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what happens? Do people ask you to play covers? People make requests and stuff.
Here's what's crazy is they don't.
They don't. Okay.
They don't. I mean,
Do you think they will though?
Once in a while, I'll get someone who asks for a cover song.
Yeah.
And, you know, it tends to be a certain type of person that asks for cover songs. And I find if I'm asked and I feel like I really should, then I'll play Jambalaya.
I see.
And it fits it because it's how about a Hank Williams Sr. song?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, great. And then I play it and they may or may not recognize it, but they can't.
Sure.
You know, like.
Well, if someone's asking for like Johnny Cash, you're like, how about Hank? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, if I am asked for an artist or something, I'll just play one of my songs that has a similar vibe to it. And that's all they're looking for is a vibe.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, I've got my indie rock stuff with Poor Lemuel that I can draw from, weird chord changes and, you know, weird old lyrics. And I have songs that I've written since I've been married and had kids, you know. Mm-hmm. I have songs about, you know, going to the bar, you know, I got songs about
party music,
you know, or, you know, I got songs about living in Southern Minnesota and a lot of my stuff is more and more, it's just songs that I can connect with people from this area. And, and a lot of that is that very, you know, folk blues, Americana-esque thing, you know, talking about things that, I mean, I got a song about pull tabs, you know, I got...
Sure.
You know?
Do you do that? Do you play pull tabs?
Yeah.
I don't
play them, no, but I play the song.
Oh, I see. But yeah. I don't gamble. That's one thing I don't do. So we talk about what we don't do on the show. So it comes up. I'm like, I don't know. You don't gamble either?
No.
No lottery or no like.
No.
No.
Me neither. I can't.
No,
I can't.
Fantasy football.
No. I mean, like if I'd won more, you know, in the past, maybe I would.
Yeah. If it was rewarding.
Yeah. Just, if it was rewarding, I would do it.
That's just like everything. Yeah. That's basic behavioral psychology. If it's rewarding, I'll do it again.
I just can't get the past the whole, you know, spend $50-$100 so you can win $125, you know, maybe.
Maybe. You know? Yeah. And if not, spend another 100 and you'll win 125 and you got to forget about that first 100 you spent.
Yeah.
Because then you got to feel like you came out ahead. Yeah, I know. That's my same thing. So have you, you said you've known some cover songs, and so at some point you were playing them, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, back in the Sugar Room, when that was around, me and my brother would play.
Yeah, Sugar Room closed in 2010, I would say.
Yeah, we played 2004 or 5, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Roughly. We played, I think our big hit was Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. That was our big hit. And we played some The Strokes, and we tried to play some new at the time songs.
Yeah.
That since then I feel like aren't quite as appealing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird how much music is out there and what comes and goes and stuff, you know. I remember that song Lights by Ellie Goulding. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's maybe 5 years old or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was such like a new sensation, and then nothing. Like 2 years later is nothing, and like
I can't remember what it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm not gonna sing it. I don't got the range, but and like Royals, that song was also sensational. And Somebody I Used to Know. These are all songs that are maybe like 5-10 years old, and such a big thing, and then not.
Yeah.
So like
I don't want to hear those.
Yeah,
like ever again.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
they're good songs. I really liked them when they came out, and I love pop music, and I love hearing the way people arrange things, and those songs really carried a good vibe when I heard them. I was like, oh, this is where it's at, this is good.
Yep. And it was, but
it is funny. Yeah, I don't really care for that, like I don't care about that music at all.
Yeah. So when did the switch come about from when you were playing covers and then you weren't? Like how did that happen?
I mean, I just, my weakness when playing music is I forget lyrics.
Okay.
And my own stuff too. And if I don't continue to sing them and play them, I just kind of, I don't know. I can have records and music, like it's not a problem, but lyrics are a problem. So if I don't keep up with it, they just go away.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. I just didn't keep up with it.
Okay. So yeah, like you say, you forgot, right? And it sort of petered out and you stopped practicing it and remembering it, and it went away.
Well, I knew the songs back at the Sugar Room. We had those songs, and then I moved to the city, and it was about, you know, writing my songs and getting a band together. And I wasn't playing much live music then, so I didn't really perform these songs.
Uh-huh. And so, that's kind of when you started forgetting.
Pretty much, yeah, you know. Yeah. When I came, but started playing down here again, I got a couple tabs for like a couple Bob Dylan tunes, and just to fill up my set at the time, I didn't have as much material as I do now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just slowly stopped playing those songs and just played my stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I assume money's not going to make a difference. Like, you play for money, but if someone's going to pay you to play a bunch of cover songs, you're just not interested?
No, it's a lot of work. Yeah. And that's not what that's not the purpose either, you know, for me. It's not about, oh, I want to, you know, I'll make it in music and, you know, I'll do whatever I have to do. Like, I'm not at that point with it.
Uh-huh.
I have a purpose, and I'm doing it because I want to do it this way.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, if you, like, offer me enough money.
What wouldn't we do? I mean, honestly, for enough money. I sometimes like to have that conversation. You know, some people be like, I'd cut off my arm for $1 billion. And I like, you know, I wouldn't, because like $1 billion will not give me another arm no matter what. But
well,
like,
your arm could fall off tomorrow. So
I also really don't need $1 billion that bad. I'm doing okay. I'd rather have two arms personally. If I lost an arm, but I would lose an arm for free doing something, you know what I mean? Mm. In an accident or something.
Yeah.
And I would be glad to be alive. I mean, I can say that much.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
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 This whole podcast, I Don't Do That, has gotten me thinking about what I do, don't do, would do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it occupies my mind quite a bit, so.
Yeah, I suppose you're right in that vein.
Yeah.
All the things I just try to not to think too hard about, you know. I don't know how much, I don't know what it would take for me to lose an arm, you know.
Like, you really don't.
And I probably won't ever face that situation.
Why would you?
So I don't want to confront it. I'll confront the rest of my issues.
Yeah, it's true. It's just for some kind of neurotic entertainment for me, I guess. But like, are there advantages? Are there disadvantages to not playing covers?
Gosh, you would think there would be.
But you got none, huh?
I mean, yeah, it depends on how you look at it, you know? It depends on what kind of musician you want to be and where you want to play and who you want to appeal to.
Sure.
I think there's an advantage in knowing cover music and knowing there's times I've played with like an 8 Boots and he pulls out just the right song for the right moment.
Sure.
And it's a cover song and it's exactly what we all should be playing and listening to. You know? That is definitely a thing that's out there.
Yeah.
There's that. But having that repertoire of cover songs that big old, you know, grab bag to pull from, the work is not worth it for me.
Uh-huh.
I'd rather just have an original song I can pull out for that situation, which I often do.
Yeah.
I never find myself in a spot where I'm like, oh, I really wish I knew, you know, Wonderwall or something.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll go further. I think that it's actually an advantage to only do original music.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's ways you approach playing. And there's ways the listener approaches listening that you can't achieve if you give them a sniff of cover music.
Uh-huh.
Like, the whole thing changes once you start playing a cover song. Then
they start seeing you differently?
They hear you different, and they want to... You become more of a jukebox and less of a, you know, a freak show.
Oh. Sure. And you'd rather be freak show.
Yeah, man, because you're looking at me like this is who I am. Yeah. Once again, I'm trying to connect with you.
Yeah.
This is the easiest way is to say, hey, here's stuff that I was influenced by music, and then I translated that into my own music, and now I'm giving that to you. And mm-hmm. here I am, here's the clothes I wear, here's the guitar I play, mm-hmm. here's the job I do, mm-hmm. and here's the songs I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I think that says something deeper than, hey, here's a song I think you're going to like or you're going to recognize, you know?
Right.
I mean, I think we have enough of that.
You're sharing something more intimate because it came from you.
Yeah, and I'm not, I mean, anyone playing music, I think music is very open-ended and you can achieve anything you want with anything.
Yeah.
If you, you know, can figure it out.
You know,
I'm not talking down to anyone who's doing anything they want to do with music.
Yeah, and I mean, I know musicians who don't have any interest in writing songs, and I'm glad they want to play mine. You know, like I'm glad they want to just come on board and they'll let me teach them.
Yeah,
this weird stuff that I come up with. You know,
that's who wants to play your songs?
well, six other people for now.
Yeah.
I'm in a 7-piece band right now. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yep. And really, only one of those other people is a songwriter. Yeah. It's Betty, you know.
Yeah.
It's been a while for her.
Yeah.
Since she's written a song, but like, yeah, and the others, not so much really at all. I mean, our bass player comes up with some original stuff. Hmm. Yeah. But that's about it. Yeah. So I'm very aware, yeah, that there's the, I mean, what I'm thinking is like you're an original, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're an original guy. You have an original approach and you like to sing original songs.
Yeah.
And that's who I like to get on the show because, we're all sort of outliers in some way.
Yeah.
I've said this before, like the reason it's interesting that you don't do something is because other people do, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and yeah, that's also why I do it this way is I stand out more, I think, or I like the idea of standing out more, you know. I don't know many other folks that play only original music right. for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I mean, I don't. I could.
But yeah, you could. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely
That's
could.
The thing. I know and some I, folks that can.
Yeah, and I used to. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting. Like, we could talk about me later.
Well, I'm kind of curious about your experience playing. So you've played all original shows for 2 or 3 hours.
I still sometimes do, yeah.
What's your experience with that?
I don't know. It's fine.
Do you feel
what do you mean?
Do you feel it's different than playing sets with cover songs?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I like in some way I can connect with people with the covers.
Yeah,
yeah. It's easier. Yeah, to like to connect with people. Yeah.
Easier to connect with cover songs for you.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
not for me.
Right. Right. And not, I mean, yeah, I don't know if we're necessarily talking about the same kind of connection, though, either.
It's a different connection, yeah.
The thing is, man, I still have people requesting songs that I wrote from 15 years ago, yeah. You know,
classics.
20 years ago.
You got some classic material.
Thank you. But, yeah. Like, I still have people wanting me to play I Thought There'd Be Robots. You know, that comes up fairly often, every few months or so.
Hmm.
And I haven't played it at... I played it once down here in the basement, like at an after party, you know, like 6 or 7 years ago. That's like the last time I played it.
So, really? Man, yeah. Have we played that on our show yet?
I don't know. It's like, I think the version on the album is like 16 minutes long or something. So,
man. Okay.
It would be monopolizing some time.
Well, this is wintertime is a good time for long songs.
Oh. I'll send it to you. I do have it on YouTube, but it's in like 2 chunks because at that time I didn't have the YouTube account where you could upload a video longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Send it to me. Yeah, we'll play it, man. Heck yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's anyway. No, it's interesting that we have that difference, but yeah, I mean, I do. I think we both see ourselves as like weird, kind of like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah, I mean, you're saying freak show. And
oh,
you're
yeah.
Saying like, hey, okay, yeah. It's, I mean,
badge of honor, you know.
I've always thought my songs were weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so your material, I know, is you are very, your words are probably the most important part of your songs.
Okay.
And the story you're telling and the way you're telling it, like, it's witty. You're a very witty songwriter.
Sure.
And
I've heard that.
I could see that in a live show getting lost with, because when I play.
Yeah.
Not everyone's quiet, you know?
You know how I keep that alive, though, is I talk to people a lot, and I get people involved in the songs. So, that's how I keep people paying attention. But, yeah, I mean, many, many years were spent, like, where words went out and were lost, and some of them still are.
Yeah.
And I know people got to, like, chat and do their... They got to come up with their own words while they're sitting with somebody.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I was able to get a lot more captivation from the audience, you know, a lot more attention on the subject of the song.
By talking about it, right?
Yeah, by talking just between songs and kind of saying anything. So I will talk on a microphone. Are you like that? You talk on a microphone?
You know, yes and no. Okay. I try it out and I also try not talking.
Okay.
More and more, I just find less is more with talking. Just play tunes, and so I know if I can set up a song and talk about what it's going to be about and what the story is, I can find that I can connect with people more. They can listen more, and they hear the song better. Mm-hmm. But I also find that too much of that, people kind of, I don't know, like I just feel like a disconnect if I keep trying that idea out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've kind of, lately, I just kind of, I say little things here and there when I kind of feel like out of, you know, I try to treat it like a living room or like I'm visiting or whatever, you know. I don't want to be the rude guest not talking ever.
Right.
But I also don't want to be the guy trying to monopolize everyone's time, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I'm on the stage playing music.
I know, it's your job.
I mean, people come to like a brewery to share company and to have a vibe, and the musician is just part of the vibe, is my feeling.
Right.
I love my words. But I feel like when I approach it, I'm trying to like play a song that facilitates the sonic vibe that needs to happen. You know, sometimes you need it low and easy and forgettable. Sometimes you need it, you know, you got to bring the party vibes. And but the wordier stuff that I do, that I have, I rarely play because I feel like I need just the right moment for it to happen.
That makes sense. I've hosted a number of stand-up comedians in my day. And, yeah, they really like, they need people to like sort of listen to everything they say, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, my work may be more on that end of things. 'Cause I can relate to them. You know what I mean?
Well, you got some funny songs too.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, the thing is like, then I'll just play cover songs if I don't.
Yeah.
If I don't need people to listen.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I really like that metaphor you had about being a house guest or a guest at a party. And about not, you know, like talking as much as is appropriate at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And like sometimes what happens with me, since I am a subject now, which is great at this conversation. Thanks for including me. A lot of times I try to stay out of it. But I feel as though I'm sometimes I just get swept away talking, like I'm like, oh, this is good, and so I'm in a performance just speaking, and it's sort of, I'm sort of aware that there's some people listening, you know what I mean, and some not, you know, but generally if I can tell that there's like a level of attention on what I'm saying, then I can get lost and sort of just keep talking, and then but there is a time also, like, I think that you're getting at where there's an awareness that like, oh, this isn't appropriate now. Like, this isn't working.
Yeah. It's talking. Not, it's not working. Yep. I'm not connecting now.
I've reached the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And like, I definitely get that I've reached the end thing, and then I'll just start playing a song. I won't conclude. I won't anything. It's just like, oh, it's over. And then, you know, just first chord or whatever intro, you know, it's just how it goes. So.
Yep. Well, you know, when I'm just playing and when I'm not talking as much, when I'm like, a lot of times I feel like I'm mining for a vibe, you know, and I'll play songs that will set up songs to come, you know? And so it's not all like every song has to be, you know, rapt attention on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like I'm working for a peak.
Yeah.
And when I hit the peak, I got to recognize that and see if I can take it further or if I got to drop it back down again, you know?
Sure,
it's
sure.
Just trying to keep it a little wavy, but nothing too crazy, you know?
It's kind of a DJ mindset.
Yeah, it is.
No wonder you're a DJ.
Yeah, it's the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's just setting vibes, you know?
Yeah. And what you play other people's, I mean, this is weird to say, but you play other people's original music when you DJ.
Yeah.
All music is somebody's original music, but you play local.
Yeah.
Local artists, when you DJ, so.
Yeah, well, you know, that's part of it, too, is like, I feel like I'm pushing for something. Like, I feel like there's a purpose behind what I'm doing. I don't know what that is. Like, no one chooses this lifestyle, you know? This isn't what you don't say, oh, yeah, I can't wait to go play in the bars for money, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know,
it wasn't what I pictured I'd be doing, either.
Yeah, there's just, I don't know, there's better things you could, you know, if you want to have a stable job, you know, with decent pay, I mean, this is not it, you know, but I feel like I'm chasing something else. And I think what I'm trying to push is culture. And I really love and care about Mankato area. Like, I grew up here. You know, I went to high school in Mankato. Mm-hmm. I grew up with Pete Klug in New Richland, you know.
Yeah.
Like, this is my home, and this is what I know. And I know, like, I feel the fertileness mm-hmm. of the area, the inspiration of it all, and what's cool about this place. And I feel like the arts that we have, you know, music, visual arts and all that, mm-hmm. I just feel like that needs to be nurtured and cultured. And I think you do that by having shows. You do that by displaying the works. You mm-hmm. do that by playing original music, you know.
Yeah.
I think that helps nurture other people. Like, I know there are people out there, I don't know who they are, but there's got to be someone who's taken inspiration from me playing sure. original music, you know, and
sure.
focusing on that. And I feel like I can say...
I mean, you're getting to me right now. I'm not yeah. going to lie, so yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
well, that's great.
You're influencing me as we speak.
That's great self-awareness you have, Ocho.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I just feel like that's the way we grow it, is mm-hmm. if I were to play cover songs, I'm just maintaining. And I feel like if I'm playing my original stuff, then I'm pushing things further, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I do the radio show, too, is to push original. I mean, we only play original music on our radio show.
Yeah.
Local original music.
Yeah.
And the more that we all just know this is okay, we can do it, and people will accept it, and kind of here's a template for it.
Yeah.
The more we're going to see, and the better we will all, you know, be.
Yeah. I would say that is 100% congruent with your objective. I think that does drive culture in our community, and I think you guys are doing a great job on your radio show. And we'll plug it afterwards.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say about playing original songs and not playing cover songs?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll just say that, you know, it seems like such a hurdle to play only original music, you know, when you're out
yeah.
playing music for people. But it really isn't. I mean, people, it's less about the song and more about the vibe.
Okay.
And if you can just keep that in mind, you mm-hmm. know, if you play your guts out on a song and people ignore it at the end, don't clap, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that they're not listening.
Mm-hmm.
I find there's three types of listeners that you got to play for.
Okay.
There's the active listener, people that are paying attention to you right now.
Yeah.
There's the passive listener. That's the person that's just having a conversation and you're in the background.
Uh-huh.
And yourself.
Uh-huh.
And you have to play material that will satisfy all of them. And the thing is that this will change too. The active listeners will become passive and the passive will become active.
And move in and out.
Yep. And,
yeah.
And you may, you know, you may decide this is not a song I want to play this show, you know, or next show. It's okay. You just got to keep that in mind because, you know, if you're just looking for applause at the end of every song, you're not going to get that no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Covers or originals. So you just play your tunes. You be honest about it. You just try to make it interesting for these three groups, and I think you're going to walk away with a successful show.
Great. Well, this is very inspiring, Ben. You give me some stuff to think about.
Cool.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Ocho.
And thank you for listening. Stick around after the closing credits to hear Dog, A Beer and a Bong, an original song by Ben Scruggs. Shout out to Ostrom Entertainment, a full-service talent and booking agency owned and operated by performing artist and music industry professional David Ostrom. Ostrom Entertainment provides premier entertainment experiences for any stage, celebration, or event in the Twin Cities and beyond. Find them on the web at ostromentertainment.com. Shout out to our sponsor, Honors the Giant, with Primetime Web. Shout out to the Hope Interfaith Center in Mankato, Minnesota. You can catch my band, Ocho and Friends, on stage at Hope Interfaith Center on St. Patrick's Day, Sunday, March 17th, 2024, at 2:00 p.m. Shout out to member supporter Aaron Foster. Aaron, among others, will be featured on my new podcast called Song for the Night, which is in production now and will debut on April Fool's Day, 2024. The Song for the Night podcast chronicles the counterculture and underground music scene of Pierre, South Dakota, USA from 1994 to 2024. Despite being in the middle of nowhere, without internet, without support from the establishment, and without much reason of any kind for hope, a group of kids in the mid-1990s were able to create community with a legacy while supporting touring bands and each other. I'll be talking with the people who made that happen on Song for the Night podcast, debuting on April 1st, 2024. Mark your calendars, put it in your phone. Do whatever. Find that wherever you listen to podcasts, including on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/OchoTunes. My name is Ocho. I'm your host, chief engineer, and producer. I also composed and performed the theme song. Thank you again to Ben for sharing your experience with us. If you like what you heard in this episode and you'd like to purchase a subscription or make a donation in any amount, please do so at idontdothatpodcast.com/give. That's idontdothatpodcast.com/give. Subscribers get access to bonus content as well as a link to every episode of this podcast 4 days before it even comes out. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on I Don't Do That, please visit idontdothatpodcast.com to apply to be a guest on the show. Thanks to all of you for all that you do and all that you don't do. I will talk to you again if I'm lucky.
I don't do that.
Here is Dog, a Beer, and a Bong by Ben Scruggs.
When I get to be 83, there's only one place I'll belong. Sitting on the porch in a rocking chair with a dog, beer, and a bong. Dog, beer, and a bong. I'll be losing my hair with every care, whether it's right or wrong. Who needs teeth to enjoy the breeze with a dog, beer, and a bong? Dog. Companionship as long as we get along. But if you're asking me, it's a guarantee. Dog, beer, and a bong. Dog, beer, and a bong. My bones will ache in every other place, so you better make that medicine strong and sit me outside in the morning. Dog, beer, and a bong. Dog, beer, and a bong. Well, I don't know what else to say about it, except will you join me when the world catches up to you and me? We won't be breaking no more laws. It's plain to see that we'll be sitting free with a dog, beer, and a bong. Dog, beer, and a bong. And as the sun will set, we'll be watching the rest with a dog, beer, and a bong.